If you could you stand with me? And we are in a series, the third week of the Apostles' Creed. And we instruct you, maybe you're new here today or whatever, but when you read it, don't read it monotone. Let's put some expression into these things, like it's coming from our heart, okay? So you emphasize the words, but let's read it out loud together once we get our screen here, slides 1, 2, and 3. Are we ready? All right, here we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And today, he descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And let's all just say the words, I believe, real strongly. Here we go. I believe. You may be seated if you can. That's a choice. That's a choice whether or not you believe. Well, I'm really glad you're here today. I'm still catching up on hugs from being away on a sabbatical for 7 weeks, and some of you I haven't hugged for a while. And when I hug you, it's interesting, a lot of you start explaining why I haven't hugged you for so long. I'm not looking for that, but you volunteered. I'll take that information down. But here's what I want to ask you. Why are you here today? Why are you here, really? I mean, is this just something you typically do every Easter? I'm glad you're here. And even though you've switched seats on me, you can sit wherever you want. That's fine. But here's the important thing that I want to begin and end with. Why in the world does Easter matter? Does it? Because I believe that Easter and the resurrection changes everything for the entire world, but also for us personally. I think it's easier for us to assess that for the whole world than for us personally. But it changes it. You know what it does? And I want to tell you, by the end of this, your response to Easter, the season, Holy Week, is going to determine your destiny, your eternal destiny. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. 1 Peter 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right out of the creed. The creed's right out of this. It is by his great mercy, not what we deserve, giving us his grace. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again by choice, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. How can we be born again? How can we be saved? Only because God raised Jesus from the dead. If he was still in the grave, we wouldn't be here today. Now, I love this. Because of that, in other words, we live with great expectation. I think in high school, I read a classic called Great Expectations. Did anybody ever have to read that? I know it's tough to raise your hand in church. I'm still holding it against you that 2 or 3 Sundays ago when Annie Ann was here Speaker Ann Byler, that when I asked spontaneously, how many of you have been to Annie Ann's, everybody in the house raised their hand. So I know you can raise your hand in church. Yeah. Well, because of Jesus and his resurrection, your story isn't over. As long as there's life and breath, your story isn't over. Your past isn't final. More to come. And your pain is not permanent. You may think it is, you may feel like it is, but it's not, because Jesus gets the final word now and then. I want to be clear today that God is absolutely holy, and our sin, our sinful choices and lifestyle, absolutely grieves his heart. Listen, I'm not here to tell you he's mad. He's sad. Do you understand the difference? That's what a grieving heart does. And the fact of it is, if we go in the Old Testament and we review the commandments in Exodus 20, probably in our lives, most of us have broken them one by one, or some of us several times, and maybe some of us have broken most of them all this week. Romans 3:25 says, "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." How many? All sin. as in plural. People are made right with God when they believe. There's that key, believe. Nobody can make you believe. Just because you're here today doesn't mean you really believe even what you just read. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. Now, I think historically most of us would say we do believe it, but have you personally made a choice to believe in that truth? I'm asking you. I could do a lot in the Old Testament and talk about God establishing in the Old Testament a sacrificial system, and a high priest with a high office would offer an animal as a sacrifice for sin, but he had to do it over and over and over again, and that's because it was temporary. But I've got good news in the New Testament. Jesus became the perfect once for all Lamb of God. His suffering and sacrifice on the cross was absolutely permanent. He is enough. His sacrifice was enough. Jesus was put to death on the cross so we could be forgiven and made new. Have you let that do a work in your heart and life? Have you been made new? I've been struck by this thought, and I shared a little bit in the communion I work up on Friday night, that I want you to know, I think this helps me get it more personal, that Jesus suffered for us, and I like to say for me, before he died for us. Do you understand? I mean, some of you know what it is to suffer. That's not one, two, three, one and done. That's over time. It's like chronic suffering. Jesus had all that on him. And I don't want to underplay that. Yes, the end is victory, but Jesus suffered before he died. So I'm going to say this, and would you repeat out loud after me? Jesus suffered for me. Jesus died for my sins. When I write messages, I think in songs, and now I can access them very quickly. And I remembered one by David Meese, some of you may remember it, called We Are the Reason That He Gave His Life. We are the reason that he what? Suffered and died. To a world that was lost, that's us, he gave all he could give to show us the reason to live. That's what Easter's about. Isaiah 53:5, I use this for communion, but I want us to read it. If that's on the screen for you, Isaiah 53:5. Okay, here's what I want us to do, though. I want us to read out loud. I like the participation. When I was a kid, I used to love responsive readings. My dad was a pastor, you know, where he'd read, and then we'd read, and then at the end, we'd all say the same thing. And for some of them, it's a wake-up call. So if I interrupt your nap if we do something responsibly here. So I want us to put that, not our, but my, okay? Make it personal right now. Here we go, with me out loud. But he was pierced for my rebellion, crushed for my sins. He was beaten so I could be whole. He was whipped so I could be healed. Doesn't that change it? Again, you can express that truth to others, but to stand, look in the mirror and say, he did it for me, and I didn't deserve it, but I needed it. How many of you know we all needed it? Absolutely. And when we believe that and receive it, it can change our destiny. No matter what you may be going through today, and not just in the house, but online, we have many joining us there. I want you to know on the authority of God's word that Jesus experienced it too. He knows and understands the weight you may be carrying. He understands the pain you're enduring. I mean, his pain, suffering was extreme, as I mentioned. But I would suggest, as we often sing, that he is absolutely good in the midst of difficulty of life, for sure. The ever-loving and ever-living Son of God suffered and died so you could be forgiven, healed, and whole. That's what Easter's about. I found this interesting. We read it, and you've probably read it and passed over it before. But in the Apostles' Creed, it said, he descended to hell or to the dead. I find that interesting. And as I read scripture, it says that he did this after he was raised to life in the spirit, not the body. You read up on it. In other words, his body was still there for some time, but his spirit was gone. And basically, we could get into a theological debate about it, but he went to Hades, and what that is, it's a temporary holding place of the dead where souls are awaiting judgment. That's where Jesus went. That's where he went on an invasion, if you will. He didn't go there to do more suffering, no. He went there to proclaim victory and liberty to the captives. They knew it before we did. Let me read it, 1 Peter 3, 18, 19a. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. Wonderful, good news. He never sinned, that's why he could be the perfect sacrifice, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God, you and me. That's what the cost was. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. 19, so he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Oh my, I would have liked to witness that, wouldn't have you? Jesus preached to the spirits held captive. That's small s, by the way. There's debate about who they were, but whoever they were, he gave them a chance to believe in him. That's what he did. We sang Friday night. He's given me chance after chance after chance, and that's what he's doing today. He's giving you another chance today to choose your eternal destination. You know the truth, but until it's applied, until it's embraced and believed, there's going to be a lot of people separated from God eternally that are going to believe it in their head, but never traveled to their heart. I would have liked to have seen that, because there must have been an overwhelming altar response when Jesus preached. Prisoners were set free. That's a foreshadowing, because he didn't just do it then. How many of you know he still sets prisoners free? Some of us can testify. Maybe his message was this in Revelation 1:18. I am the living one. I died, but look, ta-da! I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave. What needs to be said more than that? That's why I believers throughout the ages have made this bold declaration of faith about Jesus. As we made it just a few moments ago, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Pastor Joel prayed that. He's not only a good, good Savior, he's a good, good Lord. That means I surrender all. Well, remember in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it basically says this paraphrase. It doesn't say seeing is believing. That's what our culture says. But the word says believing is seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that's where some of you are today. The resurrection, bear down on this for the few minutes here. The Apostles' Creed we read says it this way: on the third day, he rose again. And so that's why we say, he is risen, and you say,
he is risen.
This is at the heart of the gospel. On the third day, the huge stone was rolled away, supernaturally, by the way, and the tomb was empty. He had risen just as he said. Many of you, most of you have heard the story. The body of Jesus, for sure, was in the tomb for 3 days, while his disciples and followers waited. And I just want you to think about it. I want you to think about it a little while, just the Friday and Saturday void. Friday was absolutely filled with despair and hopelessness. And I would suggest that when Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished, most that heard it were misunderstood. They thought it was the end. They thought it was over. I mean, they went into shock. Have you ever had something shocking happen and you knew you were in shock, but you couldn't do anything about it? I remember when I got the news of my mother's death in a car accident when I was in college, I went into shock, but I couldn't talk myself out of it. That's where they were. There, at that point in time, there was absolutely no evidence of the presence and power of God. And they were just numb that day in shock. But I want to tell you, Saturday, it didn't get any better. And Sunday didn't look good either. And I've been thinking about this. I think a lot of times we live in the Fridays and Saturdays of life. I think that's many times where our lives unwind. But that's many times where our faith unravels. How many of you know that we're not really good waiters? And I don't mean like at a restaurant. Servers. Does waiting frustrate anybody besides me? I know who some of you are. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. It's in the Fridays and Saturdays of life because it wasn't just for the disciples and the followers of Jesus, but it's for us as well. You know, we just kind of feel like it's over. God feels silent. I mean, it's not that you're not praying, but you're sure that you have a low basement ceiling and your prayers are just bouncing off. You know God can, but he's not doing it for you. He may be doing it for everybody else, but he's not doing what he can for you. That's in the waiting. And some of us on those Fridays and Saturdays, we almost decide that it's over. I give up. What's the use? Maybe recently you felt that way when you got a doctor's report and diagnosis and it just seemed so uphill and you just didn't want to fight anymore. Or when you got that dreaded phone call like the one I got from my brother-in-law in college about my mother's death. Or maybe it's a relationship, family, or whatever that's falling apart and there's back to that no answered prayer and God not only seems silent, but you're just sure that he's distant and you're not sure he cares about you. That's where many of you are today. Good news. The passage I just read, the piece we pulled from the Apostles' Creed, while the world was waiting, Jesus was working, and that's always the case. Did you hear me? Just because we're in wait mode, just because we feel like we're on hold, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't working. He always is working. And he does his greatest work, I'm convinced, out of sight, out of our sight. His spirit, as I mentioned, had resurrected, and he was preaching while we were waiting. Was that okay that Jesus was saving souls while we were waiting? Is that okay? I mean, some of our relatives may have been there, you know, distant relatives. When Jesus descended to the dead, I like to say it this way, he raided and plundered Hades. Don't you like that? I mean, it was an invasion force. He released captives and he stripped Satan of the authority of the keys that he held to death in the grave once for all. And while this victory was taking place out of human sight, in the spirit realm, the scattered disciples gathered in despair and gloom. They had left everything to follow him, and now he was gone. I mean, he just left them cold. He left them hanging. But that was Friday and Saturday. Some of you, some of us can relate. I don't know about you, but I think hospital waiting rooms are the place where you get the most tired. I mean, you can play sports all day, you can shop all day. Nothing's as tired worse than sitting around in a waiting room at a hospital. Would you agree with me on that? Have you ever done that? We're sitting there and maybe we're waiting the outcome of a loved one's surgery, whatever, some kind of report, and we're just sitting there head in hands. We don't feel like doing anything, and it seems like the waiting and wondering will never, never end. Maybe today you're carrying the weight of pain that few see, or loneliness and fear, and you have unmet needs and you're just hurting on the inside no matter how many happy Easters you say. You just feel like nothing's happening. Waiting. Waiting is kind of like something you're on TV, a streaming, and buffering. How many of you love buffering? You know what that means when this little circle comes up and you don't know if it's going to be 30 seconds or 30 minutes. Come on. That's the best description I can think of where some of us are now. We feel like our life is buffering and it's not going anywhere. And we are really getting frustrated with God about it all. Waiting is painful, but that's a part of our growth and our spiritual journey for sure. Yeah, God may be silent. But who says you have to be absent when there's silence? My wife Dixie and I, we can communicate when we're driving the miles like we just did 5,000 miles in Florida. We didn't talk all the time, but we could communicate. She was there even when she was silent. I was there. Do you understand that? Just because God is silent doesn't mean he's not there. Because he says in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's either true or it's not. It's not about how we feel. It's about the fact of his promise of what he said. It doesn't mean he's not with you. I've been hung up on this lately. If you have a relationship with him, if you placed your belief and trust in him and you said that, yes to Jesus, come into my heart and life, forgive me, I said I'm going to live for you. He's with you always because he's in you. How could he not be with you if he's in you? So I told everybody, if you're a believer in Christ, quit praying all the time, be with him, be with me, be with me. He is, just thank him that he is. Thank him for the fact that he is. You see the difference? I want to get that in our heart and mind. Even though you can't see it, if you love him and are called according to his purpose, as the scriptures say, he's working for his glory and you're good. And it's always good for you and me if it's for his glory. If he's going to be honored by it, whether we see it or understand it or not, it's always for the best because God has the long view. He has the drone view, if you will. I've thought about this. To my frustration at times, for sure, and I'm sure some of you as well. God doesn't always explain himself real well in understandable ways for me. But you know what? He ultimately always proves himself. And I want to ask you this, what greater proof could we ask for than the empty cross and the empty grave? That ought to settle it. Slam dunk. Triple exclamation point. But in our world, Fridays and Saturdays are real and we think it's over. They happen. They're happening. But that wasn't the end. When Jesus had completed everything the Father had sent him to do, the stone, as I mentioned, was supernaturally rolled away. He came out of the grave, not just spirit, but spirit and body as one. Jesus died and God raised him from the dead now. And our sins can be forgiven, and we can know eternal life now and later. I jotted in my notes that this was probably the biggest comeback in history. Would you agree? Yes. I mean, we could think of illustrations of comebacks. Dixie and I thought our marriage was over some years ago, but God made a major comeback in our lives. And you can't talk us out of it because we lived it. Our kids lived it. And now our grands are experiencing the blessing of the God who is into comebacks. Do you believe a God of the comeback? Yeah. It may look impossible, but it's not over. If there's life and breath, there's hope. Let me say it again, Hebrews 10:12. Our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin. Look at me. Do you understand that? The work's been done. Give it up. You don't have to do it, any work, and try to earn it because you can't. He did it. All you have to do is receive it by faith and say, I choose to believe. What? I got to tell you from pastor's heart. I love you whether I know you or not because I'm pastor of this house. I can't figure why anybody would turn a deal like that down. A single sacrifice for my sins, our sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. Do you know why he sat down? Because the work was done. He did everything that the Father asked him to do. A position, the right hand, if you looked it up, would be a position of authority and power. And some say that the Apostles' Creed was the poke at the Roman Empire again, and those in power because Caesar was God. I just heard that again, and that was going against Caesar. Jesus had the authority at God's right hand. Good for all time, and then he sat down. And you know what Jesus is doing now? How many of you know he's alive and well? He's praying for the likes of you and me. That's like he's standing in the gap. An old singer used to say, Jesus is my lawyer in heaven, going before the Father. He's praying for you. He's rooting for you. He's calling you. And he'll remain seated in that place of authority and power until the trumpet sounds, and he'll stand up, and he'll come back for those he loves and for those who love him. Not everybody who's ever been born. There'll be accountability for sure. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, but he's coming back for those he loves and those who love him, who said, I believe. Right. I receive. So God loves you and me so much that he took our place. He took my place. He took your place. By his suffering and by his death, because of that, our sin can be forgiven. By his resurrection, you have the promise and guarantee of everlasting hope of eternal life. And to this waiting thing, the buffering life that is so frustrating, I think 2 Peter 3 answers that. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think, some of us included. Nope. What's he doing while we're waiting? He's being patient for your sake. In other words, we have to personally say, for my sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. And that's the kicker right there. That's what keeps us from believing, because a lot of us don't feel like we really need to repent. But that's our ticket to heaven. As we come in humility before God and say, you're right. I've sinned. I've fallen far short of your glory. I need you to come into my life. I receive you by faith. I claim you as Savior and Lord. Have you made that choice? I mean, how attractive is that? To unload the debris and the chaos of our sin for him to take it and remove it forever. As far as the east is from the west, they never meet. Why in the world would you refuse? Would it be because in a society we're filled with pride and we can't bring ourselves and humble ourselves to repent and say, I am in need of a Savior, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior? You may be stuck living in Friday or Saturday and it seems endless, but I gotta tell you that Sunday's here. Sunday's here. He's risen indeed, yes, because of the true story of Jesus and his resurrection. Your story, my story, our stories aren't over. Our past isn't final. Our pain is not permanent. I said sometimes, you know, we think it's over. I think there's a lot of times when we quit too early. Because I would suggest that wherever you are on this Friday and Saturday journey to Sunday, you've never been closer to Sunday than you are right now, no matter what the past has been. Do you understand that? Whatever the past behind you, you've never been closer. There's been times when I've given up on a team and I shut it off. And then in the middle of the night, curiosity gets, these things keep me up. My curiosity gets the best of me, and I look it up, and I can't tell you how many times the team I gave up on actually won. And then I had to check out highlights and things like that in the middle of the night, and it kept me up, you know? If I would have just watched the game, I would have been all right. But that's what a lot of us do in life in general. We quit too soon. We leave too soon. Right when we're close to a breakthrough. Yeah. Right when we're close to Resurrection Sunday. Hey, he still moves stones. Right. Supernaturally. You can't. Quit pushing. You're just wearing yourself out and getting calluses and blisters. Let him roll away the stone. But he'll only do it with your permission, your choice. I believe. Well, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now and just remind you where we started, and I want to ask you again, why is Easter so important? Why is it so important? Because how you respond to the truth of history determines your eternal destiny. eternity forever. The Bible says very simply in Romans, here's the key. We need to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, and we can be saved. That's that act of receiving Him by faith. And it just occurs to me today that there's probably many of us, we may or may not have been in church. This may be a first experience for you, but it doesn't matter the background, or you may have been wherever you are. This message is for you today, the truth, simple truth. Nothing can keep you from making this choice except for you. Humbly admitting you're in need of a resurrected Savior who is Lord. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. I'm going to do it live online. And I'm going to ask everybody to do it. Some of you are doing it for the first time. Some of you are going, man, I was in a close relationship, but I need rescued. I'm way off base. I don't know how I've gotten to where I am from where I once was. But some of you, whatever it is, I want us all, or you've prayed this prayer and you're walking in relationship with Him. I think there's something in public confession, just like reading the Apostles' Creed out loud together. But I want you to pray these things and with your heart open to Him. And we always talk about here about going palms up. That's just a posture of surrender. That's where you can receive and you can give, because we really don't have anything life-changing to give until we first receive. But palms up in your heart to receive. Could you actually pray this prayer with me? Maybe for the first time. Maybe you're coming back. Whatever the case may be, could we all lift our hearts and voices strongly? Here we go. I confess with my mouth. Let's give a little more gusto to it. That encourages those who need to pray it, say it. Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. I surrender my heart and life, time, talent, treasure, past, present, future, heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my eternal home. Amen. Heads bowed before we stand in a moment. Well, let's go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand quietly, quietly, quietly. Just stand. Heads bowed. I just want to encourage you. My mom always used to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we can't be ashamed of Him. And I just wonder in this room, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or coming back and you meant it from your heart and you're choosing to believe today, would you just raise your hand and hold it real high for me so I can see? If you prayed that a minute, I see the Papa, hold it up high, high, high. Yes, I see. All over. How about in the grandstand? Yes, Pastor, I'm choosing. I'm going on record. I choose to believe in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Father, I thank You for the response. We know this truth will echo in our hearts as we move through the day of celebration, as our head hits the pillow tonight. I pray that we'll be faced with that choice of whether or not we choose to believe. Thank You for Easter. Thank You that You're risen from the grave. Thank You for the hope and help we have. I pray that You'd encourage that heart, those hearts and lives and families that are living in Fridays and Saturdays, and assure them that victory is coming, that Sunday is here. And I pray that this day will be a mark, a new direction in their life of serving You, of following You. And I pray it confidently with great expectation in the name of Jesus, who sets the captives free, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, I pray. And everyone said, amen.